This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A month ago, a patient with late-stage kidney disease became the first person in America to receive a blood vessel that was grown in a laboratory. And since then, there have been two other such implants. The surgeries were performed at Duke University Hospital. Dr. Jeffrey Lawson is a professor of surgery and pathology at Duke. Dr. Laura Nicholson is a professor of anesthesia and biomedical engineering at Yale University and the founder of the company Humacyte, and they are the doctors who engineered the blood vessel and with me here today. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Great to be here.
So tell us about the need for this. Why do we need biologically engineered blood vessels?
So if you think broadly about vascular disease in our population, it's, you know, still the leading cause of death in Western society. And that's vascular disease in the heart and in the brain and in the legs and in the kidneys. And when we have to rebuild any of those blood vessels, we can do it with technologies that use balloons and stents in certain cases. But in many cases, we need to reconstruct them formally with a tube. And that tube is usually referred to as a bypass graft of some type. And most often, it would either be a vein that we take from your body in some location or a piece of artificial material made of some type of Teflon or plastic. And it turns out that both of those solutions have their problems. The plastic or the synthetic materials are really vastly inferior. And even if you think that taking a vein to replace an artery is suitable, the veins don't really like being arteries. And I've studied that in a scientific way for a long time. But you also have to harvest the vein from another site and then relocate it where you need it. And that has its own morbidity and complications.
And the trouble with the artificial material, the plastic, is that it tends to clot more. I mean, that's one of the key problems with artificial material, clotting.
Yeah, I mean, plastics tend to clot. They also have a tendency to become infected because it's a foreign material inside your body, and bacteria can attach to it. And also, your body recognizes that there's a piece of plastic underneath your skin and in your bloodstream, and so it tends to form scar around it.
And you don't want that, especially when flow is the imperative here, and you've got a tiny little circumference to work with.
The other thing that's important about this, particularly the synthetic materials, is they never recreate the lining of the blood vessel that the blood actually likes to flow through. So blood is very smart about knowing when it's in your circulation, and when it leaves your circulation, it tends to clot. When it passes through material that isn't lined by those blood cells, it tends to clot, or it tends to start that process, which is probably deleterious to the rest of your circulation in a way that generates early clotting and early inflammation.
So an easy answer to this sounds to me like the other solution that Jeff was talking about, Laura, and that is to take another piece of tissue, another blood vessel from me. It won't be rejected, and it's the same kind of material. What are some of the complications in doing that?
Well, there are complications every time you harvest a vein from a patient, that wound can become infected. When you rob Peter to pay Paul, when you take a vein out of one part of the body and move it somewhere else, the part of the body that had that vein initially suffers a little bit. And as Jeff said, if you take a vein, which is a thin-walled, delicate structure, and you try to convince it to be an artery, which has to be much stronger, those veins suffer mechanical damage, and they wind up not working as well as we'd like.
So where did the idea for a test tube blood vessel come from?
Well, it really came, I initially conceived of this probably 18 years ago. I was doing my training in anesthesiology in Boston, and I can remember being in the operating room during cardiac bypass operations and watching surgeons like Jeff take vein out of the leg or out of the arm to do a heart bypass, and noting that in some patients this was very difficult. Many patients have diseased veins or varicose veins, and they just couldn't make that part of the operation work well. And at that time, even 18 years ago, we knew a lot about the basic biology of what causes new blood vessels to grow. And so the initial thought that we had was perhaps we can use some of what we know from science about how new blood vessels grow, take that knowledge and move it into the laboratory and use that knowledge to convince cells from the patient to form new arteries, basically in a jar in a test tube.
So tell us how that worked. Describe the process for us.
So, Laura, you want
to? Yeah.
So
essentially, what we designed was a method to take blood vessel cells from an animal or from a patient, and we had several components to the process. One is we designed a bioreactor, which is a place where we grow the cells. And the bioreactor was designed so that the cells, while they were growing, would be stretched cyclically, like they were pumped, in a way that mimics the action of the heart on our arteries. So we had this mechanical component in there, which was very important. We also exposed the vascular cells to certain chemicals, growth factors that we know are important for growing new blood vessels. And we also used a polymer scaffolding, a synthetic material that we put the cells on initially to coax the cells to form a tissue in the shape of a tube. What was cool about this polymer was that as the cells were growing and forming a new artery, the polymer underneath them was dissolving. So after a couple months in culture, what we had was a new artery composed of cells and the proteins they made, and that polymer had dissolved.
Well, so you've got it in the shape of a blood vessel. The polymer that helped hold it together is gone. You're using human tissue or human cells to begin with, and it was formed under the very dynamics that are, in other words, the pressures and the flows and all the things it would feel if it were in our body forming like a blood vessel.
And initially, what was really exciting is we set out to make really the blood vessel for the animal that it was originally the tissue as it was taken from. And we could grow the smooth muscle cells in the tube, and we could culture the lining cells, the endothelial cells, and seed those back into the vessel. And so really be replacing your own blood vessel in you. But we realized, I think, just from a logistic standpoint, that if you needed 3 months to grow you a blood vessel, most of our vascular patients don't operationally have 3 months to wait for their. So the genius that I think followed with that was to be able to make a scaffold that decellularizes this structure that then gets populated by your own cells once it's reimplanted.
So that's the idea now. You can have a storeroom full of these sort of proto vessels. And then once they're implanted, they become me. They're populated by my cells, but they're neutral, or are they biological organic cells of some creature when you put them in my body?
So the way we grow the grafts now is we, as you said, we work from a bank of human cells. These are not cells that we take from the individual patients, but it's a cell bank that we have on site. And we grow blood vessels, and then we wash the cells, the donor bank cells, out of the tissues. So what we have left is I would call it sort of a universal donor tissue.
Wow.
This is a tissue that's non-living. We can store it on the shelf for months. It can be implanted into any patient, and it won't be rejected. And the beauty of it is that we anticipate that after these blood vessels are implanted, that they do get repopulated with cells from the patient. So ultimately, it becomes the patient's own tissue.
Well, where we've seen that, so obviously to get to the point where you can do the surgeries you spoke of at the beginning of the show, you've had to already demonstrate these grafts are durable in various types of animal surgeries where we've replaced blood vessels. And we've had these implanted for over a year in various vascular scenarios. And when we've extracted them, we've seen them repopulated with both the muscular cells that would be made up of the muscular layer of your artery naturally, and then repopulated with the lining cells, the endothelial cells that provide this vascular function. And so they do really seem to, at least in when we've been able to extract them and evaluate them. We haven't taken any of them out of the human patients yet, and we hope we don't have to, but at some point
You can take the transplants out.
We hope these last in these patients forever or as long as they need to. But at some point, we'll get one out of a human that's been implanted and be able to evaluate it. But we don't have plans experimentally to extract a blood vessel that's been implanted in a human. These are put in for the utility of what they need the blood vessel for.
And the first human was here at that we used this procedure here at Duke. But that was in the United States. The first time you did this, the first tests were in Poland. Tell us about that and why Poland?
Well, I think that there's a number of reasons. I think from a sort of a logistical getting the trial off the ground and a regulatory standpoint, it's often easier for new devices to be tested in Europe than in the U.S. And this is actually a very common pattern that we see across medical innovation. Jeff was actually very involved with even all of the initial implants in Poland. Our first implants in Poland were in December of 2012, and some of those patients have had grafts in now for 6 or 7 months.
And we spent a lot of time trying to think. You know, we've always intended to be in the U.S., but some of the regulatory logistics just make that timeline longer. So we were actually quite pleased that we were able to get the U.S. side of this up and going as fast as it has. It's actually quite remarkable from a regulatory path. But we actually flew the Polish surgeons over here, and we had them train with us and handle the grafts, and they've been fabulous to work with. And then we've gone over, a team from Humacyte and myself have gone over and been available for all of the first surgical implants. And so we've tried to really be very rigorous about the European experience and match that with what is the U.S. experience.
It's a fascinating topic. I wish I had more time. I'm all out, but I want to thank you for being on the program today. Dr. Jeffrey Lawson, a professor of surgery and pathology at Duke. Dr. Laura Nicholson is a professor of anesthesia and biomedical engineering at Yale and the founder of Humacyte here in Durham. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank
Frank.
You.
Coming up on the State of Things, a preview of this year's American Dance Festival in Durham on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.